Hi friends, new and regular listeners. This is Red Ice Radio. My name is Henrik Palmgren and we are coming to you from Göteborg in Sweden. It's good to have you all with us today and I hope that you are comfortable wherever you are and ready for another interesting radio program. The website is redicecreations.com. That's the place to go to see, hear and read more. Check through our free radio archive and check out our members area as well if you want to expand even more into what we do here. And today we are going to talk about cities or towns, statues, monuments, buildings, placement of buildings, even architecture, alignments, and connecting all of this into masonry or Freemasonry. We have John Cale with us, who is behind the website CosmicGnostic.com. And he recently put together a video called The Masonic Star Map of Charleston in South Carolina. We are going to talk about some thing that exists almost, I'd say, in every city and town on a potentially larger or a lesser scale. The building of a city often has coded messages into the construction itself, often Masonic messages as well. And this is something that you probably will be able to see in your town where you're in, either if you take a look at it from above in Google Earth, or you can find certain geometrical patterns. If you walk around, you can get hints on statues and monuments that are around. You can go to the banks, insurance buildings, or especially government buildings, or maybe the courthouse will have something, everything from small patterns to symbols that are often hidden, sometimes in plain sight and sometimes more obscure. But the best preface, I guess, for this program that we're doing here today is just to say that this can be seen in most cities, maybe not as elaborate as what we'll get into here today, but definitely it is widespread across the Western world. Other cultures, of course, will have their own version of this. Their secret societies have encoded their messages into the architecture and design of cities and towns and so forth. So we're going to go into this thesis here today with our guest, John Cale. So welcome to Red Ice Radio, and thank you for joining us today.
Hello, Henrik, and thanks for having me on the show. This is my honor, and great fan of the show, and it's just great to be here. So thank you.
Thank you, John. It's good to have you with us, and maybe you can just tell us a little bit about yourself and the website, CosmicGnostic.com, and when you started that up.
Well, technically, I started CosmicGnostic.com about 6 years ago, but it's been a life kind of thing for me where I basically came out into this world just already attracted towards the weirder side of life. Everything from UFO phenomena to psychic powers to strange creatures, conspiracy. So it's been something that I've been interested in my entire life. But I would say I didn't get serious about it until about 9/11. The event sort of just really want to research more and more. And a few years after that, I started CosmicGnostic. And then ever since then, it's just been a unique search for truth coming from my perspective. And so CosmicGnostic has been around since, slowly just adding old projects, I guess you could say, such as films, blog, radio, podcasts, and just whatever I can do to add to the world of information. And that's basically what it's all about.
Excellent. And, you know, tell us a bit about the project here that you've been working on then, the video, the latest installment, I guess, of that, the Masonic Star Map of Charleston. When did you begin working on this? Has this been a long project for you, or did you just whip it up fairly recently, and this is something that you discovered because of the work that you've been into, or how long have you been doing this?
Well, basically, as more and more you become aware of things around you, be it symbolism or just like learning, I found myself a year ago. And by the way, my career profession is graphic designer, so I already have like a sort of keen eye for detail. And with that, with my my interest to symbology, the occult, I found myself just kind of keeping this awareness open, and I started taking lunches in downtown Charleston, which is where near I worked. And so so it wasn't necessarily a project at first. It was just kind of me being curious and just wandering around my great historic town. I already knew of a lot of historic aspects about Charleston, which usually centers around the Civil War through the main battles of the colonization of the United States. These things are apparent, and Charleston is a very well-known place for people to look around as well. So I basically, about a year ago, started just kind of taking my lunches, and I would check out these major parks of Charleston where they had a lot of these Masonic structures built. And every day I would do this, I would also go onto Google Earth, and I would go on a little thumbtack to say this is where I've been. And as time went by, I started to notice something about the town. Going back to my awareness, I've read books that by other researchers and authors who have basically been looking into ancient structures that seem to line up to stars. And so I started thinking, well, there's an incredible presence of Freemasonry still to this day in Charleston, that I wonder if maybe perhaps the older Masons might have been involved in something similar. So as time went by, I took photos, I would take some video clips, and essentially that all came together to become the short film, The Masonic Star Map of Charleston, South Carolina.
Excellent. And, you know, it's just interesting looking around a little bit on Charleston. It's one of the nicknames of the Holy City, which should give a few kind of details. And I guess Charleston can even be called Charlestown, which is Charles's king. So basically you have the king's town right there. But tell us a little bit more about this, about the city. Do you know some about the history? I guess it's been occupied for a fairly long time, you know, if we look at it from the perspective when the Europeans started coming over to the U.S. Tell us about Charleston, John.
Well, I'm not very knowledge with the far depths of the history of Charleston, but I do know that King Charles of England basically had control of what was to be the colonies of the United States, and so that's where the name Charleston comes from, is from King Charles. But the nickname Charleston, Charleston has a nickname, and it is the Holy City. And it happens to reside at 33 degrees north. What's interesting about this is that there's another place on the planet that also has the nickname the Holy City, that also resides at 33 degrees north, and that is Jerusalem, Israel. So, I mean, I already had this idea behind my head, and I mean, and I already knew that the number 33 is an incredibly important aspect of the Masons. But as far as the history of Charleston goes, and there's actually a spot that could focus in on the history of Masonry of Charleston better, which we'll get into a little bit later. But basically, people from all over Europe came here, and who were high Masons, and they weren't just from one country; they were from several countries, and they started up Freemasonry here in 1801, and just a lot that kind of raised my eyebrow about this area, and it always goes to 33. There's some aspects about 33 that I like to keep in mind, such as the obelisk is Egyptian, that represents the spine of the god Ra, or who is a sun god. The human spine has 33 vertebrae. Jesus Christ supposedly died and resurrected at the age of 33. A third of the angels who followed Lucifer to Earth, which a third of 100% is 33.
Yeah.
And there's just so many examples of this. So so there's a correlation between Charleston and Freemasonry and the history of war, which seems to be very important to Masons, just kind of taking care of the chaos, I guess, and having a control issue with it through war.
Yeah.
So Charleston, when you first come here, a lot of people will just see this Civil War aspect, and even people who are into symbology and whatnot, I've heard them not seeing the Masonic perspectives of it. And what I'm hoping to do here is just kind of point them out, and not really saying that I've found anything yet, because I feel like it's such a huge thing that the research is just in its infantile states right now.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You know, and I do want to get into kind of your overarching kind of thesis, so to speak, of what you've primarily been working at. But one thing I just want to comment on is this connection between Jerusalem, again, and the 33rd meridian line. And that's what I'm reading right now on Wikipedia. So Charleston was one of the first colonial cities to allow Jews to practice their faith without restriction. And it has a very old congregation there as well, one of the oldest Orthodox synagogues in the South. And, you know, on this program before, we've pointed out also the connections between Judaism and Freemasonry, that they share many of the common roots. So I think it's very interesting, just as you say, that both with the war aspect, of course, with what's going on in the Middle East, Jerusalem has always been a city of war, as it were, and that in some way then maybe have been mirrored a little bit when it comes to Charleston and American history. That's what I'm reading in from this.
Yeah.
So very, very interesting, definitely, John. But tell us a little bit about your main kind of thesis, the main thing that you've discovered, so to speak, when it comes to Charleston.
Well, are you talking about as far as the star map goes?
Exactly, yes.
Well, as I've gone through these places and I was labeling them on Google Earth and all my maps, and also knowing how people work with these structures in the past, I started to try to put these things together to see if they linked up with certain stars. And it pretty much linked up with Orion, the constellation of Orion. But as I've been going through this process, I saw that perhaps it isn't necessarily Orion, but perhaps another representation of another character through history. And I would say, rather than Orion, Osiris. And if you flip Orion upside down, this is where I started to see a correlation between not just the meaning of the constellation, but its stars as well. I started to see that each place, not all of them yet, this is where I'm still trying to figure it out, but starting off, there were stars that were also matching up with the monuments that were in these locations. So it would be Orion flipped upside down, and I don't call it Orion's constellation, but more so Osiris. And I also am putting this together because Osiris seems to be way more important to the Masons than Orion. If you have the Masonic book, Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike, you can look in the index and look up the name Orion, and it's, you know, it's mentioned maybe once or twice throughout the book. But if you look at Osiris, he talks about Osiris so much, and it's not just this one person, this one Mason. It's pretty much all of them. I mean, look in Manly P. Hall's books, he as well always paying homage to Osiris. And one quote from Albert Pike about Osiris is that everything good in nature comes from Osiris. Order, harmony, and the favorable temperature of the seasons and celestial periods. So starting off, this is the direction that I was going for. And so I've put together the list of the major parks of Charleston and have associated each place or major monument with a star.
Orion or Osiris then, and that's just incredible. I mean, you sent me a few pictures of that, and we can link this up as well so our listeners can follow along as we talk about this. But you let's talk about some of the pictures in the first folder there, basically where you show this that you just described to us. You have Osiris basically overlaid over the city, and then exactly where the stars are, you have these monuments in Charleston. Is that right?
Yes, and each place is numbered. So it's kind of, you can kind of keep along with the order in which I'm working here. Also, I sent you a photo of the actual star map of Orion, and it's being flipped, so you might want to show.
Yeah.
But the first place is a place called the Battery. And straight off the bat, when you go to the Battery, it's on the coast of Charleston. At the very bottom tip of it. And as you're driving around this park, the very first thing you're going to notice is a major statue that sits out on the corner of this park. And it isn't anything that remotely looks Christian in any kind of way. It is, in fact, a goddess. She's in a cylindrical sort of outlying circle with rays of light, which I call going into steps of cylindrical circles, and then she's on a sort of pedestal where she is, she's got a guardian, a male that's mostly naked with a shield, and she stands behind him with her left hand up looking out towards Fort Sumter. And this is really where it started, because I always thought of Charleston as being predominantly Christian, and if I, you know, would think that instead of these sort of strange statues that we find here, there would be more Christian stuff, but there isn't. So what we're finding here are like things that look very Egyptian or Roman or Greek. And this particular statue is associated with the goddess Minerva, which is the Roman name for the Greek goddess Athena. And she was considered to be the virgin goddess of warriors, poetry, medicine, wisdom, commerce, weaving, crafts, and the inventor of music. And she is also a another source says that she's the goddess of strategic warfare, wisdom, and heroic endeavor. So we can take all the other little structures out of this park alone just to focus on this one structure. And if it were to be associated with a star, I was thinking, well, maybe there's something behind what the star would be that the ancient people thought about the star, which would be associated with the star Beletrix. So when I'm looking at the star Beletrix, and I'm looking up what the word Beletrix means in Latin, it's Latin for female warrior, also known as the Amazon star. So already we have something that's, you know, she's a female warrior, and then you have this goddess who's associated with warfare. She's the goddess of war. So right off the bat, right there, I was like, well, that means this must be Bellatrix. But there's other kind of structures in the park. There's a statue that's nearby that's for William Moultrie, and he was he fought in the Anglo-Cherokee War, which you have to understand, before there was the Civil War, they also were colonizing this area, fighting the natives. And so you have throughout all Charleston these sort of structures that are just paying honor to these people. Which the William Moultrie statue is sort of in this Roman style obelisk kind of structure.
Yeah.
There's another in the park that's for the South Carolina Regiment, the 2nd South Carolina Regiment. And the way I look at these things is not necessarily what they're paying honor to, but the structures themselves. And these particular two, they're just statues of people, but there are other aspects of this park. There's a straight-up obelisk with a time dial that is on this obelisk, and that one's always an eye-catcher for me. It looks like it's been chiseled away, sort of, and it's facing east, and I just think that one's kind of neat looking.
Is that names on the front of it under the solar dial there? Is that names of people who might have died during conflict or war or something? Or do you know what's on there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are all names. And also at the bottom, you might see a bunch of different kind of little different colored stone at the bottom. And each one represents a state.
Ah.
Where they were, I don't know if they were from, or maybe not even a state, just where these people were from. On the back, there's a ship, and I'm not, off the top of my head, not quite sure what this particular monument is paying honor to, but it's another battle type of honor.
Hmm.
Actually, all of these monuments throughout Charleston in some kind of way is paying honor to the warriors, and so you can just walk around this park and find these structures. But I definitely think the main one is the goddess structure, and she's looking out towards Fort Sumter, which we can move on to the next. Fort Sumter, I believe, is also a Masonic structure in itself.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first place where the first shots for the Civil War were started.
Hmm.
And if you just look at the model that they had of this thing, they put a little bit of their Masonic style already within it. If you can see the doors, there's a typical column style doorway with a pyramid on top.
Yeah.
Sort of Roman Greek style. You see a lot of that around Charleston. Just to back up a little bit, in the same area near the Battery is the home of a Mason by the name of John Rutledge. And John Rutledge, he was one of the first people to sign the Declaration of Independence, as well as the Constitution. He was the first governor of South Carolina, and what I show in the film is just a sneak peek on the outside of his house. First thing you see on the sidewalk are not just regular sidewalk cement, but you see checkerboard.
Mm.
So automatically you're like, this is kind of interesting. And then you see the railing of the entire building is painted in green, which is a known color of magic. In many different cults, the color green is always pointed out. And I mean, there's just so many small, fine details about this house. And it was built upon many other well-known masons. You can see in the garden, the guardrails, like things like fleur-de-lis. You can see in the door structure, swastikas at the very top of it.
Yeah.
There's just a ton of like sort of, well, the way I look at it is this. Today in America, in neighborhoods, you have everybody cutting their grass and trying to trim things up to show off to their neighbors. And the way I see Charleston back in these days, I see that they were majorly Masonic as a community.
Yeah.
And so the higher you were, the more you knew, you were trying to show it off in the same kind of way. And so when you walk around downtown Charleston, you have these parks, but you also have the homes that are in the area as well. And I mean, just the homes themselves could be picked out to see the symbology within them. And I just found that this particular home was just reeking of Freemasonry.
So what we've been basically looking at so far here, John, is that the first star, so to speak, that is correlated here to Osiris number one is Bellatrix or Bellatrix, and then from that point, that's down at the knee, by the way, of Osiris, right? And then we're looking across to number two, which is down at the joint of the backside of the knee on the other leg. And
That would be where Fort Sumter is located.
Yes.
It's located on its own island. And there on one end of the island, you have the fort that's in crumbles right now. And then on the other end of the island, you have a huge white cross. I don't know how tall it stands because I've never been able to stand by it. But it's large enough that from the coast that you can see it quite apparently.
Mm.
And I've associated this as Betelgeuse.
Betelgeuse, yeah. And, wow.
Yes. And Betelgeuse also has meaning within it. In astrology, Betelgeuse pertains to military or civic honors.
Hmm.
And you can, I mean, that's just on Wikipedia. So I'm just trying to put together not only these like places of importance, but maybe there might be some kind of meaning behind the star as well that might have given these people consciously, or I'm even putting out there unconsciously, the idea to place these things so they work with the stars. And another aspect about Fort Sumter is that if you look at the overhead of the structure, you can fit a five-pointed star in its major wall sides, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
I have a diagram I sent you with these photos. It just looks like a line drawing, and you can fit a five-pointed star in that.
Absolutely. So, it's a pentagonal shape in there, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, they use a lot of types of shapes, mathematical shapes all throughout Charleston. It's not particular to one spot other than a spot that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, but something I found interesting as well about all over Charleston is that you have these random pine cones all over the place.
Uh-huh.
Like in front of houses as sort of an accent to the house. Going back to Bellatrix, the park that I'm calling Bellatrix, there's a structure there that has, it's a gazebo, a wooden gazebo that was built in the 1800s. And on top of it, randomly, there's just a huge pine cone just randomly there. And so that gives me something to think about that, just thinking back of other cultures and their relation to the pine cone and the pineal gland and all this sort of occultic type of knowledge, it tells me that there's something more going on here, that maybe this isn't something that was secret, in the same sense that we view Freemasonry now, that mm-hmm. maybe like these people were all open about it because it's just abundant all over the town.
Yeah.
So they built these structures, and I also believe that these same places might have had older monuments that might have been destroyed through war.
Yeah.
Because Charleston has seen so much war that a lot of things had to be destroyed. But we can go on with the next.
Definitely, we can do that. And that means that we'll move into the belt of Orion mm-hmm. itself, 3, 4, and 5, these sites, and people will mm-hmm. can take a look at this again on the picture. But so far, that's just incredible that you found that mapping directly with the stars like this and these different sites that we're looking at. And again, I mean, just to reiterate this idea of, you know, many people are familiar with the basic plot line that Robert Bovall and Graham Hancock put forth about mm-hmm. The pyramids at Giza mm-hmm. and the correlation with the belt of Orion. But here we have basically the same principle, but we even have more stars, so to speak, in this constellation replicated here over mm-hmm. Charleston. And again, this seems to be then a recurring motif, that they take the constellation up in heaven and supplant that in some way down to a city area. And the best way to do that for these guys seems to be that they put some kind of significant monument right at where the star is, so to speak. So that's just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if you look at the ancient structures, you can tell that they're not absolutely perfect. There's a lot of reasons. It might be just working with the lay of the land, which I think that if this is truly a Masonic star map, that this is what they are working with, the shape of Charleston, and trying to make the best of it. And to, I don't know, perhaps use this as a way of harnessing the energy to help them in their agendas. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, there's speculation of why this is occurring. You know, we could talk for hours on that. But mm-hmm. In my personal perspective, it seems to me that they're doing this just to draw the energy, the luck, to help them in their pursuit of whatever they're trying to pursue. I see a lot of warfare in this area, but they also have this sort of passion about trying to get what they want. And even if it might seem evil, I think that these people thought that they were doing something that benefited them.
Yeah.
So that's why they put this stuff out there.
Well, that's really interesting. So, it seems that they take the energy of that god or particular archetype, mm-hmm. if you will, and draw that from the stars and supplant it down there to, in this case, maybe then support the idea of warfare or get a strong a binding between the energy of war, you know, and mm-hmm. put it over this area. And that's really, really interesting, John.
Yeah, I mean, all these people that were involved with these wars were high masons, and so they have this in their head. But I also don't think it's just war. I think the struggles of life, these people moved here and, you know, dealing with a different nature of world that, you know, they're used to, maybe. Everything from mosquitoes to, you know, the Native Americans that they're trying to push off, which that could be a whole story on its own.
Well, that's interesting, John. I think what you're saying here as well is that in one way, to kind of get rid of the old gods that might have been attributed to that area or the people that were there to push that further out. They take something that mm-hmm. were familiar to them, where they came from, even if it's Egyptian in origin or if it's Western European or whatever you look at it, they take those symbols with them and supplant them and etch them, if you will, down into the ground, and that makes that energy stronger there for some reason. It might work in that way. Really interesting.
I mean, even some of these structures are new. Like I was saying, I was thinking that these older structures could have been destroyed, and that some of these points of interest that I've associated with stars, some of them are newer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of thinking that this idealism is still being portrayed, and like they're still thinking of this. They're still trying to create it. Yeah, this energy. And the way they do it is by getting tourists with a one intention by reading something that seems good, like such as the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or whatever. Mm. And so like they get these people to look at it. And then I'm wondering if it's just a way to harness their energy at these places.
Channel it into these locations here.
Yeah. 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 I mean, you see that with all kinds of things that we are associating with Freemasonry, even in the corporate world, with their logos and the way they try to attract you in. Oh, this is good. Come here. Eat McDonald's or get your gas at Texaco, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think it's sort of the same similar harnessing effect that's going on. But, so we are also, we're going into the belt.
Yeah. Let's do that.
And the first one is at the bottom, and I'm associating this area with Mintaka. And this one is the simplest of the three, though it starts off with an interesting object that leads up a stairway of sorts, and out of the blue, all you have is this sort of cube. And in the middle of it, there's a circle, and it sort of looks like a cross. I associate it with the Celtic cross, but it's just, there's no indication about what it is. It's just there randomly. Mm-hmm. And in front of it, there's this circular bed of flowers, and it sits on the coast, pointing towards Fort Sumter. And if you stand on this structure and you speak out, you have it like a sort of echoing effect. But they usually keep this sort of welcome sign on top of it. And on the sign itself at the bottom, there's a cross. And it's just like a silhouette kind of cross, and you can find these little crosses all over this park. But so this very first little structure, it's kind of like something that sticks out from everything in this area. Mm-hmm. And so when you're looking at an overhead view of it, all you see is this strange, just a circle. And then when you go up past this area, just right next to it, towards the left, there's a what I call just an accent, if not a major star. It's just instead of a cube, it's a circular object made of stone with a square in the middle. And automatically that speaks to me the I Ching symbol of the circle with the square in the middle. And also, it also is the same exact representation of the compass and the square, which is the Masonic symbol that they seem to like to use the most. Mm. It is particularly the one symbol that they like to use on the cars driving around Charleston. There's no hiding Freemasonry here. Every other car you see driving around, they have their symbols on their cars. Hmm. And it'll be like right next to another symbol, like their car's logo or whatever.
Yeah.
But this particular little accent, it's kind of centered in this shape that's sort of like a horseshoe. And if you stand on top of it, you can speak out, and it sort of resonates your voice. So if anything, they're playing around with sound here. And so I just think that's kind of interesting. People could probably sit around the edges and, you know, just hear the person standing on top of the structure to be even louder. I've seen tours of people, like it could be anybody gathering in one of these places, and the teacher will stand on top while all the people that are listening will sit around. So it kind of projects your voice.
Little auditorium, mini auditorium there, right there. Huh.
Yeah. So that star I associated with Mintaka, I don't think I've associated anything with that star yet. Oh, there is an association. Astrologers considered it of importance as portending good fortune. So this particular spot would be of good fortune. And I don't know, just to speculate, I guess the bed of flowers could be a symbol in itself, to put out there the energy of growth.
Yeah.
Because, there's a lot of farmers around in this area, people trying to just make it off the land. But if you move to the next star or park location,
number four,
this is Al Nilam. And this particular one is the most interesting to me because automatically you see this pineapple. It's a huge structure pineapple that's just spewing water out of it. And most people who are walking in this, going around looking at this fountain, are not going to automatically notice that it's directly in center of a cross. And so if you're looking at the overhead of this spot, you'll see an apparent cross. And more so, I'd like to say the Celtic cross, which is usually associated with the zodiac if you go back further prior to Christianity. And I also look at this as being associated with this whole pine cone, pineapple, even the palm trees of Charleston, I even think is a utilization of symbology and nature.
Yeah, it is.
You can look at old Masonic books and they'll have randomly a palm tree on the back. And so I kind of think I'm trying to think in their perspective of what they're trying to express. And so I see this cross with this pineapple giving out this water, which, by the way, this particular water fountain and another one that's nearby is greatly loved by the local children. And so the children will play in the waters just all summer long, local children just playing in the water. And I've seen other places where you can see this sort of ideology of taking that Eden-type youthful energy, and it's always in some sort of Masonic park. I think there's one in Nashville that Freeman was speaking about, that he pointed out that the local children were also playing in the waters.
Yeah, that's right.
So this entire park actually, it has that youthful kind of resonance going on during the whole park. Just kids are running all over the place during the summer.
But that's just that fountain again, to talk a little bit more about the pineapple fountain. At the top, of course, at the closest to the crown where the water is coming down, you have an interesting shape. Looks like a sunflower, or it looks like almost like the Fibonacci kind of sequence, if you've seen some of these images of incorporated right at the top at the crown of the thing there. And the water is coming down, obviously, in three layers, which can be symbolically interpreted in different ways as well. But what I'd like to ask is, if we look at the two bottom plates, or whatever we should call it, where the water comes out from before it hits finally the bottom or the ground, have you counted how many streams, so to speak, of water actually comes out of layer number two and three?
I have not actually counted them, but that does, that I need to write down that in my notes.
That could be something, I'm not sure.
That. Yeah, definitely. But there's so many, like, things to look at into all these, structures. We could have talked tons about the goddess structure, because at the bottom it gives a similar sort of Fibonacci sort of sequences within it. So I just like the symbology is just embedded deeply where, I mean,
yeah,
it's always more symbols and symbols. And so definitely need to look into that to see how many there are. So yeah, lots of things to look at here.
Absolutely. So we have a little bit on the number fourth star, the first one in the belt, Al-Nilam, as is referred to, if
yes.
you look at it from the point of view of the constellation of Orion or Osiris. But mm-hmm. do you want to move on to number five, the next belt star?
Yes. Well, this one would be associated with Al-Nitak, and it is, which means the girdle. And it is the final of the three, and it is another water structure fountain. This particular one is—it's not as elaborate as the one that we just talked about. Though I do find it interesting because there are these stone cylinder structures that go all the way around, and then in the middle is another cylinder structure where all the water is pointing towards. And below it, you have a sort of pattern of checkerboard star-like structures that are embedded within the floor of this.
Mm.
And then you have cylindrical structures that make the steps that go around. And again, this is another main point that sticks out of this park. Next to this particular water fountain that's in between the previous one we were talking about is another sound structure, another sound booth, auditorium, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though those two I don't associate with stars, I always keep open that, you know, a lot of these constellations have more stars in them than that are being pointed out.
Yeah, so it could
that
be,
might not
I see what you mean. It could be another one, a smaller little star
mm-hmm.
in the constellation that actually is there, but commonly people don't think about it because it's not in the official constellation. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, it's not been named yet, or
right.
they just don't associate it. And I've even looked at old associations with Orion, and some of them will be even change around, like depending on where it was. There are the main stars, but sometimes they'll leave one out or that hasn't perhaps been discovered yet.
Yeah.
And so I kind of look at what these people were trying to associate with when they were looking above and not necessarily what they found in the most prestigious book in the world that says that this is the definite structure of Orion. So this is another water fountain type structure, and I mean there's nothing that's talking about it, who's built it, but I mean, going back to awareness, when you're aware of these sort of symbols, it cries these sort of symbols, and sometimes the wind will even blow the water in a way that's not just direct onto the stone structure in the middle, and will create a sort of spiral kind of effect.
Mm.
I've seen it.
Nice.
But this is another place that I've seen, you know, during the summer, the children, they just flock to these water fountains, and they're just running around. And this particular area is where all the schools will come out and check out. And
do you think that's significant in some way by using the energy of children, maybe even happy children, to be out of school and cooling off in the water fountain, you know, while the sun blazes on them or something? So they use that energy too, or what do you think is the significance of that?
Well, I mean, I kind of try to play devil's advocate of this, and how would I utilize it if I was some sorcerer of sorts trying to get certain energies? You create these sort of places that would attract people to specific places.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, this one seems to be attracting everybody from the old, because it's a park, and there's a lot of elderly that will be sitting out in this park on the benches and looking out towards the water. And then at the fountains are all the children. And so, this particular park, it was a port to bring in, you know, ships, to bring in goods. And so it's a place that's trying to harness something. And I'm just wondering if it's, trying to harness children energy for whatever reason. In the girdle, I guess that could be in the area that's near, you know, fertility, birth. So I'm not quite sure, but just speculating, I mean, just knowing my own understanding of magic and harnessing energy, it just seems like that would be the purpose.
Yeah. But by the way, do you know how many, cylinder, structures there is around here that actually is, the water is coming out from? Is it 15, 16? I'm trying to count them there. Do you know?
I'm getting 12.
12. Maybe it is 12 then. That would be obviously a zodiacal reference again,
yeah,
if that's the case. Well, it's very interesting.
And then the middle structure would be the 13.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we have.
I mean, like I think there's a lot. Like I could probably spend a year on one spot and, you know, create a whole list. And so up to this point, through just times of life and whatnot, I've gone through all these places, and it's taken me about a year just to gather photos, video, and to just try to grab some literature on these places and the history. So there's definitely a lot to dig into this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's really interesting, John. And why don't we move on to the last star in the belt, and I think after that point we can begin to round things up here for the first segment. But tell us a little bit about the last star here in the belt then of Orion.
Yes, that last structure I was telling you about is the last structure of the belt. It was number 5.
Oh, that is the last one. That's correct. That's right. It's me who's getting that wrong.
Yes, and it's just fascinating. And up to this part, this is when I started to start to think maybe there's other stars and parks that could be linked up. And so this was pretty much where the journey started to getting really deep into it. And I started to try to go out looking for places, even though they weren't very hard to find, because these are the main parks of Charleston.
Yeah. So it's clearly represented in that way. What you're saying, I guess, is that you're not reaching or stretching here to find a place in Charleston that correlates to the particular star. It's actually very official. This is the park. It's right there, smack, so to speak.
And
it's
exactly
obvious. It's obvious. Yeah. I see what you mean.
It's very obvious. And although I do question if it's always been there, or if it's something that has been built upon throughout history that's still being built now. But I also kind of wondered, though, if maybe these newer structures were being built upon older structures that were destroyed. But the main star, number 10, which we'll get into the second half of this, is by far the most interesting. And it will go back to what you were talking about, the involvement with just all sorts of people from around the world, including the Jews of Jerusalem.
Right.
So there's a lot here to talk about.
Absolutely. What do you think? Do you want to begin to round things up, or do you want to touch a little bit upon the sixth star, the elbow of Osiris?
Yes, we can talk about that.
Yeah.
This is a very interesting place that it might involve a lot of discussion, but this particular area, it's called the Four Corners of Law. It's the official name of this area.
Mm-hmm.
It is very much a pinnacle area in Charleston as far as tourism, because this is where all the laws, all the religion, this seemed to be where a lot of business was conducted. And so it's called the Four Corners of Law. And on one of these particular corners, there lies what now exists, a bank. And this bank, which is called South Carolina Bank and Trust, it in itself is a old bank that's been around. It's kind of interesting in structure as it has four columns, and it's just got a lot of mixtures of symbolic structures that can be associated with, you know, Romans, Greeks, Egyptian.
Yeah.
But what strikes me at, you know, that sticks out the most is on top of its structure is a sword with flames coming from its sword.
Hmm.
And so I first saw that, and then I noticed something down to the bottom left of it, and there's a small, tiny, probably 4.5 feet tall stone structure. And this structure in itself is claiming that this is where the first Masonic Lodge of Charleston started. It literally says, on this site, the Shepherd Tavern, the birthplace of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, the Mother Supreme Council of the World, May 3rd, 1801.
Mm.
And so on the front of this, you see that, and with its phoenix symbol above it, and then on top of it, on top of the structure, you see the original building that was originally there. And then on the sides of each of the structure is a list of the founders of the Supreme Council. And on each side is about 5 or 6 names. I've looked into these people, and they're not really high-ranking people as far as, as far as being maybe in the military. There's a couple of people, but other than that, they're basically just people from all over Europe,
mm-hmm.
and with having average jobs from being a printer to being a preacher to you name it, their professions were every day. There are several members of the military, of course, but basically, there are people from all over Europe that came here, and in 1801, they established this area for Freemasonry of Charleston.
Hmm.
And it's something that people probably pass by every day and never really looking at. But to me, this is the most significant portion of this area, though right behind this bank, there's a small little park, and in the middle of this park is an obelisk, and it's a very tall obelisk, and it pays honor to George Washington. It's a Washington monument, another one.
Yeah.
And any depictions, by the way, of Washington, he's depicted on some of the other structures, and he's always with an angel or Columbia with her Liberty cap, and he'll just be there with them, sort of as if he is kind of on this godly type level.
Yeah.
But this particular area, the Four Corners of Law, or the square, which is something that, you know, Masons use a lot.
Yep.
Because they believe it's one of their most precious symbols, the square or the cube. And so they a lot of these parts are either called square or just utilizing these words that are, you know, in reference to shapes, geometrical shapes, mathematics, and these sort of things.
Yeah.
But another interesting aspect of this particular area is that there are churches here, and there's a law in Charleston that no building is allowed to be built taller than these churches.
Hmm.
And this is why, or the official reason why it's called the Holy City, is because no building structure can be taller than these particular churches. And when you're strolling about in this area, you may hear the bells of these churches ring. And the bells, they tend to not sound like a particular song, but it's sort of like sound resonating kind of event happening. It's very, in the film, I have this sound sample playing. It's just, it's interesting in itself to check out. But, so this particular area, the Four Corners, represented by the star Cursa, which I couldn't find any astrological associations other than the Chinese associating the star with the meaning the golden well.
Hmm.
And I don't know if the Masons or, you know, were able to get that sort of information or association, but there might be other meanings that might be associated with that star.
Hmm.
But that's just more part of the digging and trying to associate and trying to make these things concrete.
Yeah. But by the way, these the buildings that we've been talking about here, the mm-hmm. law corner here, are they all these buildings facing each other then, including this church? Or what's the basic layout of the area there?
Well, if you look at the overall photo that
yeah.
I sent,
yeah.
they face each other. And but they seem to have wanted to paint these the crossings of the roads in an interesting kind of way. It is a square, but it, to me, if you look at it, it kind of reminds me of the E, such as in the Dell logo, how it's kind of like angled in a certain way that could be associated with the three-dimensional cube. And this is just me speculating by looking overhead, but they're all facing each other, and this particular area it's very high with tourist action.
Mm-hmm.
You got all kinds of people walking around in this colonial dress with colonial type of flags. There's one building, I don't know the name of it off the top of my head, that was a dungeon for a while
yeah.
that they kept prisoners in. But this is where all the laws were made, whether it be religious or military or whatever, this is where it was all starting. And something interesting to point out is that these buildings are now mostly banks.
How about that?
Yeah, so the banks have taken over.
Certainly have. But previously, you mentioned it's law, bank, church, and basically military at the beginning, mm-hmm. probably, with that. The forces of control pretty much right there in that square, huh?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
And all the structures, you see the fine detail of just, you know, suns or pyramids or columns. They just love these same similar symbols, and they're more particular in this area. And then the further down you go, each direction in the streets, it kind of becomes less and less.
Yeah.
But like I was saying earlier, like the old buildings of this town are completely filled with these sort of like symbols.
Really interesting. John, why don't we wrap things up here for the first segment, and then we'll continue either if you want to comment on anything more in terms of this star Cursa or if we move on. But please, I mean, again, people can go to your website. They can check out the film for themselves. Either, you know, as they follow along in this program, check it out afterwards, and we'll continue talking more about the stars. But please give us your website again so people know where to go to check out more of your work.
Yes. Thanks for listening, everybody, and thank you, Henrik, and Red Ice Creations for this opportunity. You can go over to cosmicgnostic.com and you can check out the film there. It's a quick 30-minute film. It is the beginning of a great research project that I'm diving into. And in fact, I'm going to be writing papers with all this detail that's not actually covered in the film. The film just kind of skims these structures and just points out that it could possibly be a star map. But what I'm going to be doing is writing papers, putting it out there for people to read, and eventually I hope to add it all together to be a one-source book for people to check out. But that's not going to be for quite some time. So go over to cosmicgnostic.com, and there's a whole world of its own over there.
Excellent. Okay, thank you, John. Again, cosmicgnostic.com. We will have it linked up from redicecreations.com as well, so you can click through from our page easily, check out the film, and check out more of John's work over there. Stay with us, John. We'll be right back after this break. Tune in to Hour 2 with John Cale as we continue to explore the Masonic star map of Charleston. We'll go over some more of the connections between Charleston, Albert Pike, and the Supreme Council of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. We'll talk about star number 7 up to 10 in the Orion or Osiris constellation, Trapezium, Rigel, Safe, and Sirius. We discuss the related parks, sites, and monuments on the ground in Charleston, like the Customs House, Liberty Square, and the Masonic Cemetery that is located right at the tip of the star map of Osiris. If you're not yet a member, sign up to hear Hour 2. Try it out for 3 months and support our effort and help us grow in new areas. RedIceCreations.com is our website where you can find all information about how to access all of our archives with radio, videos, and films. Check our upcoming guests in our radio archive. Much more interesting radio is coming your way soon. We'll take a short break here, but we'll be right back after some music.
But I just can't stand the pain. Girl, I'm leaving.